Welcome, everybody, to the Infinite Scale podcast. My name is James Vickery. I'll be your host, and I'm very excited to have a guest on the show today. I have with me today Paul Green. Hello, Paul.
Hi, James. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Great to have you on the show. So Paul is the owner of Paul Green's Marketing, MSP Marketing, and Paul is also a podcaster, entrepreneur, and sounds like an all-around good guy. So I thought I'd get him on the show to talk about marketing for MSPs today. So why don't we do that, Paul?
Well, marketing's a lot simpler than most MSPs think. Now, most MSPs don't do marketing at all, or when they do marketing, it's very sporadic. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. But actually, marketing, you've got to look at it as a system. So if you think about all the tech work that you do, the way it works well for most MSPs is they systemize it. We have standard operating procedures. We pop it into things like IT Glue and all that kind of stuff. And actually, marketing is exactly the same thing. It's not a mystic art. There's no magic to it. You don't have to have these marketing superpowers. You need to figure out the things that work, and then you just need to do those things again and again and again. And when I say again and again, I mean day in, week out, month in, month out, forever. And that's where most MSPs fall over with their marketing is they don't systemize it, and they don't just keep doing it all the time.
And why do you think that is?
I think it's because MSPs have the best business model on the planet. And let me explain that. I've been working with MSPs since the beginning of 2016. And before that, I had a healthcare marketing business. I worked with veterinarians, dentists, and opticians. And those guys have it tough because they've constantly got to be winning new clients. And then their clients will stay for a couple of years, and then they'll go off. And there's very little monthly recurring revenue. And you kind of look at it like that, and you think, well, that's hard work, that is. And it's regulated as well. That's a hard way to make a living. And then you start looking at MSPs. And many MSPs, not all, but many MSPs still have their first clients that they won 20 years ago. So retention is absolutely off the scale. And most people these days are completely clued up about monthly recurring revenue. So they've got the vast majority of their clients on long contracts, paying them money every month, often when they don't have to do any real work for that, which is absolutely great. And of course, there's a huge amount of change. You know, the clients don't know what they don't know about technology. And there's always something new. You know, COVID has been quite good to many MSPs because it's thrown up all this new stuff of, hey, work from home. Hey, let's talk about the cloud, whatever that cloud is. Let's talk about hybrid working, where you can work, anyone can work anywhere on any device. And all of this is new. So these three things combined mean that you can actually be really ropey at marketing. And so long as you can do service delivery and you can find good partners to work with, you can have a great business, a profitable business that pays your mortgage every single month and gives you a great lifestyle. So I think the business model encourages MSPs to almost be lazy with their marketing. Now, what I've seen over the last few years is that in any marketplace, and this can happen in any Western marketplace, anywhere in the world, you'll get a tiny percentage, let's say 5 or 10% of the MSPs who get okay at marketing, and they become dominant in the marketplace. Because when you've got a marketplace where the vast majority of people aren't doing any marketing, you don't need to outrun everyone. You just need to be slightly better than a number of your competitors.
That's really interesting, and something that we've observed at Benchmark. So Benchmark 365 provides outsourced help desk services to MSPs, and we have two types of MSPs that we work with. Those that do marketing and sales as a core discipline in their business are growing exponentially, and those that don't. And that's not to say those that don't have great businesses, but we notice, just in terms of the numbers, we notice that there's a significant delta between those two types of organizations. Fascinating to see.
And I'm not surprised at all. If I bought an MSP tomorrow, the first thing I would do is put in place systemized marketing and selling. In fact, I would do three things. So the first thing I would do is I would drive quality traffic to my website. And by driving quality traffic, I mean I'd get very good at Google, very good at LinkedIn, and very good at Facebook, because those are the three big platforms with all of the traffic. And on each of them, you need to get good at the organic side, and you need to get good at the paid side, and do those six things across those three platforms. That's it. That's your traffic sorted. And yes, there's a cost to that. And yes, we know, you know, Google in particular might cost you $2,000-$4,000 per new client, but that new client is going to stay with you for 10 years and spend $100,000. So the return on investment is absolutely there from those platforms. The second thing I would do is I would build audiences. So I would build up my LinkedIn following. So I had 3, 4, 5, 10,000 people connected to me on LinkedIn. I would build up my email list. So I had hundreds, if not thousands of people, you know, who were happy to get my educational emails every single week. And I would probably build up probably a following on either Facebook or Instagram, depending on the kind of businesses I was going for. If you wanted retail and hospitality businesses, for example, you would market to them on Instagram because they use Instagram as their own marketing platform. So wherever someone is, it's easier to go there and pick them up on that platform. If it was general unregulated businesses, I might look on Facebook, for example. But I would build up multiple audiences of people and then teach those people, teach them about the things that they don't understand. Because as I said earlier, they don't know what they don't know. You know, the word cloud, which means lots of things to MSPs, but to ordinary business owners, decision makers, it's a bit of a baffling word. They'll go, yeah, cloud, and nod and rub their chin. But they don't really understand what that means. And most MSPs, I think, would agree with me that the clients don't know, the prospects don't know. So let's teach them. Let's take things that they're interested in and let's teach them through great content marketing. And that's so much easier when you've got an audience of people who are listening to you. And then the third thing I would do is I would put in place a telesales team. Let's not call it telesales. Let's call it a telephone intervention team. So that's one or two people. These could be part-time, back-to-work mums who are sitting ideally in your office post-COVID anyway, and they are just ringing the prospects. They're not selling to them. They're not trying to do anything. They're just giving them a call, talking to them about their business, learning about them, building a relationship on your behalf. And some of those people, because a lot of marketing is about getting the right message in front of the right person at the right time. And some of those people at some point are going to say, oh, do you know what? I'm just not happy with my IT support company. And that's an in. And then that telephone intervention person can then book a 15, 20 minute Zoom call for the owner or the proper salesperson in the MSP to get, you know, have a conversation, have a chat with that person. And we all know if you can get them on the phone for 20 minutes, if there is an opportunity there, you'll get a meeting, you'll get a proposal in, and the chances are that you'll get a client. And that's what I would do if I owned an MSP tomorrow. And notice that I didn't talk there about improving the service delivery. I didn't talk about, you know, systemizing more. I assume most of the MSPs I work with are very, very good at that, but they're not very good at marketing. And I think that's the big opportunity for most MSPs to really maximize their net profits.
Paul, you didn't even talk about what CRM to buy, which seems to be the default first step in an MSP marketing plan.
It is. And I can answer that because there are four, five, maybe six that you'd look at. There are two types of CRM. You've got your basic workhorses. So they're cheap and cheerful, but actually they do a great job. So MailChimp is the right CRM for most MSPs. It's, you know, it's been around for, what is it, about 10, 15 years, solid code base, works really well, trusted by, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. There's an alternative to MailChimp called MailerLite, which is L-I-T-E. And, you know, but again, another workhorse, relatively cheap. These are the right CRMs for most MSPs, because most MSPs don't use a CRM anyway. You've then got the fancy ones like Infusionsoft, or Keep as it's called these days, and ActiveCampaign. And if I'm an Infusionsoft guy because I've been using it for 8 years. If I was starting again tomorrow, I would probably go with ActiveCampaign. The only thing that stops me switching is we're so embedded into the Infusionsoft system. It would be a nightmare to switch. There's one called Honey CRM, which is MSP specific. One question which does come up regularly is, why don't I use my PSA? Hey, ConnectWise has got AutoTask has got a built-in marketing plugin. These are not marketing plugins. These might be used to communicate with your existing clients, but you cannot warm up prospects and use them as a sales tool. That's not what they're designed for from scratch. So I would absolutely, for most people, just go for MailChimp. And you know what? If MailChimp, you find it holds you back, it hasn't got enough automation, upgrade yourself to ActiveCampaign.
Hey, I've got to say, I've been playing with MailerLite recently, just on the side. So we have a marketing team, and they love MailChimp and work with a particular CRM product. But on the side, I've just been playing with MailerLite for some sort of back-end marketing that we're doing. And it's been fantastic. It's been a really great product.
Yeah, I love MailerLite. We use actually three CRMs in our business for different things. And MailerLite, I think the difference between MailerLite and MailChimp is MailerLite is hungry and presumably not profitable because they've only been on the scene for a couple of years. So they're growing fast, they're scaling. And, you know, any business that's at its sort of intense, unprofitable growth phase tends to act faster and be more aggressive and more hungry for it. Whereas I think MailChimp, I suspect, is profitable and is fighting different battles. MailChimp was the spammer's choice for so many years, and that's the battle that they've been fighting now. There's one other I must mention, actually, James, and that's HubSpot. So HubSpot yes. is a bit of an outlier. It's very Marmite-y, or your Australian, so it would be Vegemite-y for you. But in the UK, Marmite ran a big marketing campaign for years, which was you either love it or you hate it. And HubSpot, right. I think, falls into that. Personally, I'm not a big fan of HubSpot. I like the idea of what they say their tools can do, things like tracking people through your website, very, very cookie intensive stuff, which I think they'll have some problems in the next couple of years as a lot of the browsers, you know, hit back against the use of tracking cookies. And it's starting now, of course. But I know of a number of MSPs who use it and absolutely swear by it. There is a book about HubSpot called Disrupted, which if you're thinking of buying HubSpot, you should read the book. It was a guy who worked there for a number of years, and it tells the inside story of a Silicon Valley startup where the focus is more on growth than it is on perhaps delighting the client. So that's a great book to read.
Awesome. I'm going to check it out. Paul, something I've talked about a bit on the podcast is how much MSP marketing I see that is very, very technical. And very, very fear-driven. You know, lately, of course, it's all about cybersecurity, and there seems to be a lot of content out there. It's almost, I have thousands of MSPs on LinkedIn, and I see the same content from multiple MSPs on the same day. It looks like it's just, you know, repeat content that's been sold off to various MSPs. What are your views on what MSPs should actually be talking about to capture the attention of the market? Is fear-mongering the right thing to do? Or is it about education? You know, is it about how-to type things? Or what's the right message for an MSP?
That's a great question. And I'm internally laughing because I have a content marketing service with more than 200 clients across the world. And so if you're seeing a whole load of content dropping in your LinkedIn stream on one day, there's a fairly good chance that some of that's my content, which is quite amusing. Most normal prospects wouldn't see that, of course. You're connected primarily to MSPs, which is why you see it. The reason that a lot of marketing is fear-driven is because the brain... A lot of good marketing content is all about how the brain works. And we have the same brains in our heads today that we had when we lived in caves 100,000 years ago. And our brains are more motivated by avoiding the fear of loss, or rather they're more motivated by the fear of loss and avoiding fear than they are the opportunity to gain. So a lot of the marketing that you see will be driven by fear because, as I've said a couple of times, your ordinary decision makers, the business owners and managers that you want to reach, they simply don't know. You know, something as simple as laptop encryption, which everyone listening to this will know it's a basic, because you lose a laptop that's encrypted, it's no biggie. You've lost a laptop, that's it. Your data is safe. You haven't got to talk to your regulators. It's just not an issue. And yet how many clients out there are running around with unencrypted laptops? Now, some MSPs absolutely insist on it, but others, it's only a recommendation. We all know there are loads of people running around with unencrypted laptops. It's insane. It should be a basic. You know, backup, constant real-time backup to two separate places should be a basic. We all know this. They don't. And, you know, how often, and every MSP has had this, where they sat down with a prospect and they've kind of gone cold inside, where they've realized that this prospect is not protected. They're not set up, they're not protected from malware, they're not backed up, they're not encrypted, and all of this kind of stuff. So we have to use a smidgen of fear. We don't want to go on too hard because that becomes a very turn-off message. But educating people about what they don't know and what the implications are, it does get the best results long term. And that there is a balance between not making it too negative and just using it to trigger the part of their ancient brain that is constantly looking out for fears. Now, in terms of you mentioned sort of technical marketing, that is a big no-no. And you will never see anything that me or my team put out that is technical, because these ordinary people are turned off by technical stuff. You know, when you talk about, I wrote a book called Email Hijack, which my clients rebrand and use that in their areas. And I'm not a tech, you see, I've never been a tech. In fact, I was saying in my Facebook group last night, I've never unscrewed a computer, and my MSP clients are shocked, genuinely shocked that I've never taken a screwdriver to a computer. That actually scares me. And when I wrote a book about email security, I wrote a book that I would understand. And I'm only slightly more technically aware than the average business owner. But you know, you want to talk about email security to people, you go and sit in a sales meeting and start talking about, you know, all these different technical standards and vendors and partners and all of this, and people are just switching off. However, when you talk about, hey, you know, Susan in accounts, if she gets one of those emails and clicks on that link and goes onto a thing, she could theoretically, her email could be compromised, and someone could then sit and read her emails, and they can intercept an invoice, and they can edit that invoice, even though it's a PDF. Yeah, you can edit PDFs, and they can change the bank details, and that's how you lose $12,000. And when you put it into that kind of context, which is a non-technical way of talking about a very serious technical matter, suddenly people get it. And I think that's the challenge. It's very, very hard for most MSPs because, you know, your entire world is technology. You're reading, you know, or you're talking to people like yourself, James, and listening to podcasts like this and reading technical stuff and talking to vendors. So you assume that if you're doing that, everyone has the knowledge that you have, but they don't. Ordinary people don't have this knowledge. They don't think about it. It's just not important to them. In fact, that's probably one of the major marketing challenges for MSPs is translating what you know technically into what ordinary people don't know.
Got it. And it sounds like consistency is key as well, Paul. So sure, have the fear-based email or have the fear-based LinkedIn post come out, but kind of following it up and making sure you follow a thread seems really important when it comes to marketing. Otherwise, it's just something that just pops up and maybe the prospective buyer just goes and talks to their existing MSP and gets that problem fixed. But if you're consistently putting the message out over and over again, eventually there's a good chance they'll actually come and talk to you about it.
Oh, massively. And this is the relationship building. You know, as I said earlier, the people buy at the point they're ready to buy. And someone who's... There's one part of the business model of MSPs that I sort of skipped over, which is something called inertia loyalty. And you mentioned someone being with another MSP. They are, and every MSP has seen this. You will meet with a prospect who doesn't like their incumbent MSP. They're not happy with them. The things have degraded over a period of time, and they think they're ready to switch. And then you speak to them a few weeks later, and they've bizarrely signed another contract with their incumbent, with their existing MSP. And you might think that that's something that you've done wrong. Actually, it isn't. That's something at play called inertia loyalty, where we perceive it's easier to stay with something than it is to switch over to something new. This is why I've had the same bank account personally since I was 14. Even though in the UK, there's all sorts of switching guarantees, and I've got loads of bank accounts with different banks, my primary bank account has been with the same bank for 31 years because of the perceived hassle of switching that bank account somewhere else. It's why we stay with our accountant or with our CPA, and it's certainly why we stay with our tech support firm. So ordinary people who don't get technology, they look at it and they think, oh, but I've got those servers, we've got all that set up in the cloud, and the email is complicated. And I'm doing this in inverted commas now. It's just easier to stay with these guys. We'll switch next year. And so when I say that people, you know, you're looking for that moment that people are ready to switch, if you've been able to build a relationship with them, and sometimes that can take years before they're ready to switch, but if they have, you know, read your book and it's sitting on their desk, and perhaps even they've read it on the toilet, which is why you should always print stuff, because if you can invade their toilet time, you can really, you know, get to them emotionally. Perhaps they've seen 5 or 6 or 7 posts from you on LinkedIn. Maybe they've read a promotional email from you once or twice a month. Maybe they've seen your Facebook ad. You know, maybe they've had your print newsletter that's turned up on their desk. Maybe they've had 2 or 3 phone calls with a nice lady in your office who is not trying to sell stuff all the time, but she's just talking about their business. And then the contract comes through from their incumbent and the price has gone up, and they look at it and think, oh, do you know what? Service levels have gone down. I'm not happy with these guys. The chances of you having a discussion with them is infinitely higher than if at that point they Googled and they found you. Because again, going back to our brain and the way our brains work and this 100,000-year-old programming, we trust people that we think that we know. And people who don't know about technology are not making cognitive decisions on which MSP to choose. They literally cannot tell a good MSP from a bad MSP just from their websites. So they're not making cognitive decisions, they're making emotional decisions. They are literally picking your MSP or not based on, do I like you or not? So if you can build a relationship with them, particularly a multi-touch point, multi-platform relationship over months and months, if not years and years, they feel as though they know you. And I have a phrase that I use, which is, this is then your business to lose. And what I mean by that is, you should win that business, all other factors being equal. Because remember, very few other MSPs are doing this. I've taught this to hundreds and hundreds, if not getting on for thousands of MSPs at live events. I've done it through videos. I've done it through various programs. And, you know, lots of people have done lots of things, but very, very few ever implement the full system. And, you know, mostly because they don't need to. You don't need to do the full system. You only need to be slightly better than your competitors. But you do see some MSPs sometimes that implement the full system, and there is a delay. It takes some time to build a relationship with people because, you know, this, it's never a fast sale, the MSP sale. But those that do this properly, even if it's at a low level, they really see the benefits long term. And actually, that makes your business more sellable as well. Makes your business more scalable, makes it more systemizable. And ultimately, when you're ready to exit, it makes it more sellable.
Mm. By the way, this is why I love video when it comes to marketing. So back when I was marketing my MSP, I used to make a lot of video content, put it on LinkedIn and Facebook, and I never really used to think about it a lot. You know, it's just something that I enjoyed doing, and I'd make the video, and then I'd show up to visit a prospective client, and it was like we were old friends, and I couldn't put two and two together to realize why is this person treating me like they've known me for a long time? And then it would come up in the conversation that they'd been watching my videos on YouTube. And, you know, it kind of created this element of, you know, we're already friends. We're already ready to work together. It's super powerful. So is video something that you recommend to your clients?
Oh, massively. Absolutely, massively. Well, I mean, we provide a load of video to our clients, and I say to them, what would be better is exactly what you've just done, James, which is get in front of a camera and record your own videos. And they don't need to be perfect. There are two types of video that MSPs should use. Now, the first type is what we call a Hollywood style intro video. And in fact, you can if you don't mind me plugging one of my websites, James, that we've actually got some examples.
Sure.
If you go to mspvideos.co.uk. So this is a service we only offer in the UK, but I have a business partner who is a videographer, and he goes and films videos with MSPs. And what we don't do is go anywhere near servers, network cables, or techie stuff, because we're not interested in techie things. We're only interested in, well, what we try and do is we talk to clients and people. And you can see, I think there's about 8 or 9 videos, sample videos on that site. And you can actually see examples of real videos that real MSPs have had made and have put on their website. And typically it's a 60-second video. Typically it's 2 or 3 of the MSP's clients talking about the MSP. The very, very best one on there, which was only done just before lockdown. We literally got it finished just before the lockdown started. It's an MSP's client talking about how his email was breached. He lost about $100,000, and then the MSP turned up and saved him. And it is literally the best video I've ever seen, because it's emotional. It's a guy of a fairly sizable business talking about how they were a bit stupid. They didn't use the tools that had been recommended. They got in trouble. The MSP saved them, and they're so grateful. Now, my MSP client has then put that on his homepage. Can you imagine what an impact that's going to have on his marketing? Because someone who's, you know, people do look at your website, they do check you out. That video, if it's not there already, it should be at the very top of the homepage. And that's saying something to the prospects, which is, look, these guys are so good that their clients are willing to go onto a video and talk about how good they are. And it's a really polished 60-second fast emotional video. So that's the first kind of video that you should have, is a Hollywood style intro video, preferably with your clients or with you, and certainly no technology in there. The second type of video is your disposable social media content video. So just like you were doing on YouTube, James, and I have a whole bunch of clients who churn out videos. Some of them, they do really nice, highly edited ones. In fact, they have editors that they found on platforms like Fiverr.com or Upwork.com. I have others who just grab their mobile phone and just go out and do it. You know, we see it in LinkedIn a lot, don't we? We see videos from MSPs. Video is beautiful. And in fact, there's sort of three things that give MSPs an unfair advantage. Video is one of them because, again, the vast majority just don't do it. The second thing is print. You know, 20 years ago, I had too much physical post and not enough email. And now it's completely the other way around. Too many emails, too many digital messages, and I get very little post. So printed stuff really stands out. And I think every MSP should be doing a printed newsletter, and that should be going out, physically posting it to your prospect list every month. Yes, that's expensive, but the power of getting something that's on their desk and that sits on their desk is immense. And my clients that use our printed newsletters, they see that return. It's exactly that same thing that you were talking about, James, that they talk about things that were in the printed newsletter. And the secret of a printed newsletter, by the way, is to repurpose your digital content. It doesn't matter if they see the same content online and then they see it in print. So video is your first secret weapon. Print is your second secret weapon. Your third secret weapon is the phone. And I mentioned having a back-to-work mum part-time, just ringing people. You know, I mean, in my last business, and we were doing £1 million a year, and this is the healthcare marketing business, completely systemized marketing. You know, it was a total hands-off operation for me. And we sold it in 2016 in a very nice premium sale. The secret sauce of that business, well, there were two things. We had a database of 12,000 prospects, which we were sending two emails a week. So we were sending 24,000 emails a week. And then we had three full-time telephone people just phoning those people. And that's all they did. They weren't selling. They were phoning to book appointments for our field sales. And you could sit there, and I used to sit with that team, because obviously telesales people are a nightmare to manage. Anyone who's ever hired them will know that. But I would just sit with that team, and we'd just have a little chat, and I'd hear them calling people up and saying they were calling from my office and talking about the email and saying, how's things going in your business? And they were looking for that in, for that moment where someone had that frustration that I could get one of my field sales guys in. Now, we happen to be selling marketing in that business, but that's exactly what I would do in an MSP, because the power of someone picking up the phone and talking to the prospect and moving the relationship forward is immense. It's just huge. The reality is, though, it shouldn't be you that does it. Because if the MSP owner does it, unless you're one of those very rare people that genuinely loves picking up the phone 50 times a day, which you're probably not, it's just going to be an activity you put off every day. So you just get someone to do it on your behalf. And as long as your expectations are fairly low, you know, I mean, you can have someone working 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and they will book you two meetings a week, two phone calls a week. That's all they're ever going to get you because of the numbers game. But that's enough, because off the back of those two calls, one of those will turn into a client. And this is how you end up with one or two new clients a month.
And I think you've just sort of answered what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, which is, as an MSP owner, you become inconsistent with marketing. You might do a little bit of marketing and then you get some clients and then you're busy dealing with those clients and you don't do any more marketing, and you end up with this scenario where we talk about this a lot, the leaky bucket, where, you know, you top up the bucket, you get lots of clients, you sort of feel really great, it's recurring revenue, and then something happens and you lose a client. Now you've got to start up your marketing engine again. Whereas if you can just consistently have that marketing humming in the background, you've always got a steady stream of new revenue coming in to the business.
Exactly. And this is actually called boom and bust marketing. Mm. And it's so common to see this in businesses. As you say, you're so busy doing the work that you lose the clients. And then you think, well, let's do some marketing. But marketing needs momentum. You know, we're not selling things on a website here where we can turn on a page and turn on some ads and we make some sales. That's not what we do. MSP sales is about relationship building. It's about, you know, getting to know someone. That's why you keep them for 10 years. Well, that's one of the reasons why you keep them for 10 years. So you have to be doing marketing all the time, even when you don't want clients. I have MSP clients I'm working with who are full. They've actually won so many clients over this lockdown because they've picked them up from lazy MSPs that didn't service their clients well, and that they're at a point where that they, oh God, I can't possibly onboard someone else. And I say to them, brilliant, but do not stop your marketing. Keep doing LinkedIn, keep sending out your email and your print newsletters, keep doing your videos, just hang back a bit on the calls to action. You know, Stop asking for new clients, stop phoning people. Perhaps you can do that, but you absolutely need the momentum going. In fact, being full and not being able to take on new clients is one of the most attractive things that you can do to take on new clients. You know, it's like a nightclub. If you go to a nightclub and there's a, let's say you have two nightclubs, next to each other in the same street, in the same city, and one of them has a queue of 10 people outside, the other one has no queue, which nightclub do you want to go in? You want to go in the one with the queue, don't you? And actually, nightclubs figured out decades ago that if you have a queue, people want to come in because they perceive that there's a queue because it's busy. And actually, often that we've all done it where we've queued up for a nightclub, especially on a stag night, and we've got inside and there's no one in there. And, you know, so closing your doors and saying we are not currently taking on new clients makes you more attractive as a business. It's a weird thing that.
Well, Paul, it'd be remiss of me not to mention, though, also increasing your capacity to deliver to all of these extra new clients that are coming in the door is also a great way to scale your business up quickly. So something that we see a lot with MSPs is they have a fear of marketing to say, we just can't do it. You know, we've only got two guys or three guys and we're flat out with these projects. We can't do it. It's one of the main reasons that MSPs do tend to hit a particular revenue cap is what we see out there in the marketplace. So being able to increase your capacity, whether that be consistently hiring, marketing to the people that you want to hire and bring into your company to deliver all these great new opportunities, or using some sort of partner in order to grow your business as well. So that's something that I definitely agree that it's a great thing to be able to say to a customer, no, you know, we're a little bit busy right now, but we'd like to talk to you again. It's also extremely powerful to say yes, and to be able to scale up quickly and actually deliver that, grow your company to where you want it to be.
That's a very good point. And you know, I remember the day, it was early 2015, when I first discovered you could actually outsource a level of your tech work to someone else. And it wasn't some brand new thing, that there were established players such as Benchmark 365, and that, you know, it was a solid path to growth. And I remember getting so excited that day, and I was sitting in a room of MSPs, and I felt like shaking them and literally going around and shaking every single one and saying, what's wrong with you? You know, why aren't you outsourcing? At the very, very least, outsource your first line support, the stuff that you all sit here every month and tell me you hate. You hate password changes, you hate new users, you hate doing all of that stuff. So give it to someone else. And I was trying to explain to them that there's virtually no other sector in the world where you've got established, solid, reliable, trusted players who will do a lot of that work for you so that you don't have to, and they charge a reasonable fee to do it. And yes, I know there are issues, and I know we could talk for hours about the pros and cons of it. But again, if I bought an MSP tomorrow, one of the first things I would be looking at, exactly as you said, James, is how do we scale up? So I can get more attention and get more new clients than my competitors can, but how do I deliver that more quickly? And you know, recruitment seems to be a perennial issue for most MSPs. So actually, what can we do to just recruit top-end, clever people who want interesting work and lose, you know, some of the work that either we're not good at or we just simply don't have the capacity for? From a marketing point of view and a business growth point of view, it's an absolute no-brainer.
Mm. I could almost talk for hours about that, Paul. And in fact, we've got an entire podcast dedicated to it. So guys, if you're listening in, you can always tune back into episode one and start your journey of learning about the outsourcing process. But Paul, this has been fascinating. I've learned a lot about marketing. It's been really great. How do people get in touch with you?
Thank you. Well, you can get in touch with me via my website, where you can also actually get a free copy of my book. I wrote a book called Updating Servers Doesn't Grow Your Business. And if you go on to paulgreensmspmarketing.com, so that has got an S in it, so it's my name, paulgreensmspmarketing.com. And right there on the homepage, it shows you a copy of the book. Just fill in your details. Now, if you're in the US or the UK, we will physically post a copy to you. And if you're anywhere else in the world, we'll send you a PDF. But that's a free book. It's a 40-page book on MSP marketing, and it's completely free for you.
Love it. Awesome, Paul. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us on today's episode, and look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.